The small East Texas town of Hearne is in the grip of a controversy over its federally funded drug task force. The American Civil Liberties Union has filed a lawsuit in federal court accusing the local district attorney of malicious prosecution. The ACLU suit charges that some drug task forces in Texas target innocent blacks and Hispanics and then offer them parole if they'll plead guilty, allowing the task force to continue collecting hundreds of thousands of dollars in federal funding. From Hearne, NPR's Wade Goodwin reports.
25-year-old Regina Kelly says she will never forget the night that police showed up at the restaurant where she waited tables and handcuffed her in front of her manager and her customers. Kelly had never been in trouble before, and she was stunned and mortified that the police were making this kind of example of her because of speeding tickets.
I knew the only thing that I had was tickets. And my manager was like, how much are they? I was like, $7.42. I knew it was tickets. It couldn't have been anything else, just tickets. And so he was going to write a check out, but they wouldn't accept it.
It wasn't about speeding tickets, but that's all the police would tell her. Not knowing why, she spent her first night in jail crying, a $70,000 bond over her head. The next day, on the way to see the judge, Regina Kelly was told somebody she knew had fingered her as a dope dealer selling crack cocaine. Derek Megris was a casual acquaintance, somebody Kelly knew from the public housing project where she'd lived for a while. He was a known thief who'd gotten caught. To save himself, Megris turned informant and promised the district attorney that if he got probation, Megris would give the DA a bunch of drug cases. Robertson County District Attorney John Paschal told Derek Megris that he wanted at least 20 people on drug charges. Megris gave him 28. Regina Kelly was one of them.
It was a shock to me, for real, I promise. It was like, I couldn't explain it. And I kept telling my mom, I was like, I need to come home because I need to get my kids, but I refused to settle for something that I didn't do.
Kelly had no record of any kind. She was waiting tables and making plans to enroll at a nearby college. The district attorney offered Kelly 10 years probation if she'd plead guilty. She could go home to her kids and get back to her job. All she had to do was sign the papers. Or she could sit in prison for 2 or 3 months awaiting trial because there was no way she was going to make that $70,000 bail. The public defender assigned to Kelly told her to take the deal.
This is my lawyer now. It's like he was working for the DA because he didn't try to help me at all. He was like, well, I think you need to go ahead and take the probation because you don't have a criminal history. And I feel like, you know, you do very good on probation. You know, I'm like, no, you know, I'm not going to plead to something I just did not do.
6 of the 28 defendants took the DA's deal and pleaded guilty. Not Kelly, though. She sat in jail for week after week and had her mother bring her kids in to see her.
And then for me to try to explain to them that mommy's locked up for something that she didn't do, you know, it's kind of hard.
One of the other young people who got caught in Megris's sting operation was a young man named Corvin Workman. He was the son of a former city councilman who was also a longtime leader of the local NAACP. Workman had time cards to prove that he was at work at the time that Megris claimed that he was doing drug deals. And Corvin Workman's father, Charles Workman, could afford to pay for his son to have his own lawyer.
Well, I think it's just a matter of the DA and his office looking for easy prey to account for the money, the government money that was given to fight drugs. This had been going on for a number of years, and it's just easy to grab some poor black young kids and say we're fighting drugs.
This is the central charge in the ACLU's lawsuit, that some of these drug task forces are unaccountable and out of control, that they're targeting poor blacks and Hispanics and using informants and police officers who sometimes lie to get convictions. The informants want probation, and the drug task forces want guilty pleas so they can show the federal government that their grant money should be renewed. In Hearne, that comes to nearly $400,000 a year, enough to hire and equip 8 police officers. But Robertson County District Attorney John Paschal says that this reasoning is absolutely not true.
The only people complaining in Hearne are those who are related to these defendants.
Paschal readily admits that the drug task force sometimes targeted Hearne's black community and made mass arrests.
Well, hey, you know, they're selling drugs. They're easily caught. I can't help it. You know what I'm saying? If you got blacks selling drugs, you got to arrest them. If you got whites selling drugs, you have to arrest them.
Megris took the drug task force's money and a tape recorder and went to Columbus Village, the predominantly black public housing project. Every drug buy he made was out of sight of the police officers who waited for him in the car. He would disappear into the apartment complex and emerge later with bags of white powder he said was cocaine and cassette tapes that were completely incomprehensible. He told the police that 28 different people sold him cocaine, and he claimed every drug deal was done on the one corner of the housing project that was in a school zone. That made the drug offenses even more severe. But when the first case went to trial, the jury didn't believe Derek Megris. They voted 11-1 to acquit Corvin Workman. Despite this setback, the district attorney decided to press on with the other cases anyway.
So I got to thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, if this jury didn't believe him, maybe another jury will, so let's try one more case. And if that don't work out, then we're going to have to decide what to do.
To try to bolster his informant's credibility, Pascal decided to give Megris a polygraph, and that's when it all fell apart, because it turns out that Derek Megris was mumbling into the tape recorder on purpose. The white bags of powder were flour and baking soda, into which Megris would scrape a little crack cocaine that he'd stashed somewhere in the housing project. The DA says the scraping noise is one of the few things you can actually hear on the cassette tapes. Pascal was forced to dismiss all of the remaining cases.
I think they were guilty, yes. Now, whether I could get a conviction against them, no. But that doesn't mean they weren't guilty in my eyes.
And the district attorney says he will not reconsider the convictions of the six defendants who've already pled guilty. However, when asked if he feels confident about the credibility of the other informants that he's used over the years, Pascal wavers a bit.
You know, I don't know. We really try to be careful with them. And in this particular case, I don't know whether they were negligent in watching Mr. Megris or Mr. Megris was just too smart for us. But, you know, you always have that problem with cases. And I can't sit here and say that we haven't had an informant that may have been a little dirty before. I'm not aware of it.
Hearn is quickly becoming the third major law enforcement scandal in Texas. In the small town of Tulia in the Panhandle, 16% of the town's entire black population were arrested on the word of one deputy sheriff who's now being investigated by the FBI and the state attorney general. And in Dallas, dozens of Mexican immigrants were arrested after they were framed using fake cocaine that was planted by Dallas police informants. The FBI is investigating that case, too. The ACLU says there are more cases, some in South Texas, where minorities have been targeted for arrest by informants who now admit they lied. Wade Goodwin, NPR News, Hearn, Texas.